Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Pei Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur on Daf Pei Vov will begin at the lower part of the page. You will notice a Mishnah. The Mishnah speaks about the eating of a Korban Pesach in two separate groups or two separate locations. The Mishnah: Shtei Chaburos Shohoyu Oichlin Bebayas Echod. If you have two groups, in order to be a participant in the Korban Pesach, one joins a group of people that are appointed to participate in a particular Korban Pesach. And one cannot move or change from one group to another. So if you have two groups that are eating in one house, Bayis Echad, it might be understood as well as referring to eating in the same room. Echo Elu Hoifrin es Pneum Halach the Oichlin, the Elu Hoifrin es Pneum Halach the Oichlin, Va Mecham Beemsa. The two groups will be expected to eat with their respective backs facing each other. In other words, each group turns away from the other group, and you could have the Mecham is a hot water urn in the middle, between the two groups. Let us take a look at the Rashi. Shtei chaburos shoy oichlois pesach echod bebayis echod. So you had one korban pesach, that there were two groups eating from it in one room. Elu hoifchin pneim elach einon srichin lohosev elu keneged elu liyois nirin kechabura achas. They don't have to face each other to appear as one group. Elo rashoyin lafoich peneim elu elach the elu elach the afilu nirin kishtei chaburos lo ichpaslon kidiolif begamora. Even if they appear as two separate groups and they're eating one korban pesach, that doesn't bother us. Sha pesach nechal af b'shtei botim l'shtei chaburos. According to this approach, and this will be a major point of discussion as we go on in the Gemara, but according to this approach, one korban pesach can in fact be eaten in two separate groups and even in two separate houses. Rashi continues, Vamecham, Shemechamimin Bo Chamin, the urn for hot water, Shemoizgin Bo Hayayin, this water is added to the wine, Rashoin Loisles Beemsak, Deshenoch Lashamash Mashamash Lashtam, Limzoig Misham Lakanu Lakan, the hot water urn can be placed between these two groups, and its presence there makes it easier for the waiter who is serving these groups to serve both of them. They don't have to behave any differently than groups of people would behave during the year. Even though the urn is separating the two groups, that doesn't bother us. And we'll skip a couple words. Limzog lechabur acheres. The shamash himself, he's a waiter and he's eating his korban pesach in one group. So what he can do, he gets up and serves the other group. And let's just read that line again with the skipped words. When the shamash is serving both groups, he stands up from his group. The group that he started eating his korban pesach, his portion of the korban pesach, limzog lechabur acheres, he can serve and pour the water for the next group. So we continue in the Mishnah. Kishashamash oimed limzog, given the situation we just described, when the shamash is getting up to serve the other group, and we're talking about, as we saw in the Rashi, he started eating as part of his group, and he's now getting up to serve the other, and he's in the middle of his eating. Kofetz es piv, umachsir es ponov. There is an assumption we're making right now, and that is that according to the Mishnah, one person cannot eat in two groups. In other words, the Korban Pesach itself can be split between two groups, but a person, once he's assigned to a group, he's part of that group and can't eat with another group. So this Shamash, if he is he's eating the Pesach with his group, he has to, and he's in the middle of, let's say, chewing, so he closes his mouth on his food, and Umachsir es ponov, he turns with his face facing his original chabura until ad shemagia, as the Mishnah goes on to say, umachsir es ponov ad shemagia etzel chabura. So he keeps facing his group the entire time, the ochel, and is able to eat. The Rashi explains or gives us all of the background that we spoke out. Let's see this in the Rashi. Knowing this information now will make the continuation of the Gemara much easier. The Rashi, Kofetz es piv umachsir es ponov, he closes his mouth and faces the tzad chaburoso, facing his original group, shelo yachshaduhu, so that they don't suspect him, she'oichel im chaburo acheres, that he's eating with the other group. The Sfirulei Latana Didon, our Tana, is of the opinion, and when we say our Tana, that's in contrast to another Tanaic opinion that we'll see in the Gemara. But according to our Tana, ha'pesach nechal b'shtei chaburos, one animal, one Korban Pesach can be eaten, can be split between two groups. But a single person cannot eat from his Korban Pesach in two groups. And this Tano establishes the Pesach that said, what does that mean? She'ein Odom Echod Oichel B'Shnei Botim. That one person cannot eat in two locations. Ushtei chaburos ha'hofchos p'neim k'shtei botim domu. And in the scenario we described in our mission of two groups that are facing away from each other, that is like two separate houses. And therefore, it's important for the shamosh not to create any suspicion that he may continue his eating in a second group, and that suspicion is alleviated by his maintaining a constant facial contact or eye contact with his original group. The Mishnah goes on with another halacha, the hakalo. Kalo is a newlywed, hofeches es poneho v'ocheles. Rashi explains that which the Gemara will elaborate on. Vakala shehi boisha. Kala is embarrassed to have other. Kala, naturally, a bride attracts attention. So the bride, knowing that people are looking at her, she doesn't want to be looked upon while she is eating. So she has this embarrassment about her. Rasho lahafoich poneho litzad acher v'lechol. She has a right to turn away from the people that she is next to and eat. She would represent it would seem from Rashi at least, she would represent a separate chabura, maybe a single person chabura, but the Pesach itself is eaten by her, and the rest of the Pesach, of the Korban Pesach, eaten by other people, but she is facing away from them. We continue now in the Gemara. Before we look at the Gemara, we have a title heading, the no say on the side. Machlokes Tanoim B'inyan. We'll have a Machlokes Tanoim regarding, and we have two major topics and then subtopics. There's HaPesach Nechal, when you focus on the animal, focusing on the animal, so we have one opinion says B'mokom Echad, and another opinion says B'shnei Mekomos, that one Pesach can be eaten in two separate places. The other opinion says no, the Pesach, the one animal must be in one place. And then the focus will switch to Odom Ha'oichel Pesho, focusing on the person was eating his Korban Pesach. So one possibility is Ochlo B'mokom Echad, that he must eat it in one place. And the second option is Rashoi L'Ochlo B'Shnei Mekomos. The person can eat his portion of the Korban Pesach in two separate locations. So the issue of restriction to one location or option of two locations is applicable to the Korban Pesach itself, the animal, and the person. Now we look at our Mishnah, our Gemara, who the Gemara opens up with a comment regarding our Mishnah, Masnis and Moni, our Mishnah, who holds that one animal, Korban Pesach, can be eaten in two places, but one person cannot eat in two places. That is Rebbe Yudahi. That's according to Rebbe Yudah Desanya. We have a brisa that serves as the source for the opinion of Rebbe Yudah, and his name, you can see, is underlined second line from the bottom. And in contrast with Rebbe Yudah, you'll see Shitas Rebbe Shimon. And the Gemara at the top of Omid Beis will then ask what is the basis of their machlokas. So our Gemara continues with the brisa al habotim asher yochlu oisoi bohem. That is a pasuk regarding the eating of the korban pesach. Melamed, this teaches us shapesach nechal b'shtei chaburos, that one korban pesach can be eaten in two separate groups. Yochol yehe ha'ochel ochel b'shtei mekomos, can a given person, can an individual person himself eat in two separate places? Tamu lomar b'bayis echod yeochel. That is the pasuk, and we read the pasuk the way it appears, the way one would read it in reading the parsha from the Torah. Just by way of introduction to that which we'll see later on, in learning the Torah and extrapolating laws from that which it says in the Torah, there are at times two approaches. Do you look at the word, the letters as they appear, or do you look at the word as it is read? And there are times that the reading of the Torah, what we call Yesh Eim LaMikra, is not the same as what we call Yesh Eim LaMasoras, the way the letters appear. As everyone knows, the Torah is without vowels, so there's an oral tradition in how to vowelize it. But on the other hand, there are cases where the vowelizing isn't the way you would have done it on your own. And that phenomenon is Yesh Eim LaMasoras, where you look at the letters as they appear without using an oral tradition on vowelizing what would you have said it means. So the way we read the pasuk just now is not necessarily the way Reb Yudah will darsh in the pasuk, but it says in the pasuk b'bayis echod yeochel mikan omru. From here we learn hashamosh sheochal kezayis b'tzad hatanur, a waiter that ate his olive quantity of korban pesach by the side of an oven. E pikeachu memale kreso mimenu. If he is wise, he'll eat till he's satisfied. Literally, he'll fill his belly up with it. And what will that help? So that as a waiter, he's moving around. So that if he gets up from that spot, he won't eat anymore. He'll be full already. And this all stems from the opinion that one eater cannot eat in two places. So if he's moving around, as he is a shamosh, best for him to finish his eating in one place. Otherwise, he'll run into a problem of possibly eating in a second place, which is forbidden. V'imrotzu b'nei chabura lasos imoy toiva. If the group of people that are joined to eat the korban pesach want to do a favor to the shamosh, boin v'yoshvin b'tzido. Divrei Reb Yudah, the people that he's serving, then he's going to have to get up and change his place if they want to do him a favor, so they'll sit down near him, and therefore he will be able to serve them and not change their place, and not have him change his place and then fall into the trap of eating in two places. Rebbe Shimon Omer, Al Habatim Asher Yochlu Oisoi Bohem. Melame, this teaches us she'oichel oichel b'shtei mekomos, that the eater can eat in two separate places. The word says Yochlu Alabatim Asher Yochlu Osobahem. The Rashi at the bottom says Lamit Sheoichel Oichel B'Shtei Mekamos V'Yochlu. The word V'Yochlu Tichtiv Bakra, that is in this pasuk. Akol Chad V'Chad Me Oichlin Koy. It's referring to each person who is eating. So if you look at this pasuk with that interpretation, the word Batim appears in the plural, and so he's eating. Each individual is eating in possibly different houses. So it shows you that one person can eat in two places. Yochol yehe ne'echal b'shtei chaburos. Can the korban Pesach itself be eaten, split between two groups? Talmud lomar bebayis echad ye'ochel. Ye'ochel, read that way, is a word referring to the item that in one house it shall be eaten. Namely, the korban Pesach cannot be split between two groups. So one Korban Pesach cannot be split between two groups. B'mai komifliki. Here the Gemara, we're at the second line from the top of Omid Beis. What is the underlying basis of their machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? So Rabbi Yehuda savar yesh aim lamasores. He emphasizes the way the letters appear and how you would read it had you not had an oral tradition in how to vowelize it. And truth be told, you would have read it as v'yochal. So that when the pasuk says b'bayis echod yochal, the emphasis is on the person. Rabbi Shimon Sofar yesh aim lamikra. So that Yeshem Amikra means you darshan the pasuk the way the word is read based on the vowelization that stems from an oral tradition, and you would read the Ye'ochel, and that is a word referring to the Pesach, namely that the Pesach shall be eaten by one group. And the pasuk, as we said, the pasuk says B'bayis Echod Ye'ochel. It, the Korban Pesach, shall be eaten in one house or in one chabura. But as far as Reb Shimon is concerned, the person himself, he can get up and eat his Korban Pesach in another group, in another place. Reb Yehuda, on the other hand, said, B'bayis Echad Yochal, that the person must eat in one place. The Korban Pesach itself, according to Reb Yehuda, can be split amongst two separate groups. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a Nosei and Mivneh heading. On the side, the diamond and double underline will introduce Siluk Mechitza Vasias Mechitza Be'emtza Achilas HaPesach, a situation where a Korban Pesach is being eaten and you'll have a wall descend between them in the middle of their eating. You can imagine this with all kinds of automatic doors or possibly curtains that has to be analyzed that descend in the middle of a group of people, creating in effect two separate groups, and the situation of the removal of a mechitza. In other words, you have two groups eating on either sides of a wall, and the wall disappears in the middle of their Pesach consumption. What do we do? So we've used the diamond, highlights the expression Hoyu Yoshvin, and then the double underline you see highlights the case, what actually happened. Now we also have Roman numerals 1 and 2. The reason for this is that in under Roman numeral number 1, the issue is presented as a matter of fact. In Roman number 2, Rav Ashi turns to Rav Kahana and says, Rav Kahana, who had presented this to Rav Ashi as a matter of fact, Rav Ashi says basically, how are you so sure of these things? Should you not present it as a question? And that is why we have a Roman numeral 2. Whereas Roman numeral 1 presents things as a fact, Rav Ashi suggests the issues dealt with should have been presented as a question, something that's not really clear, like you said. Now we look at the Gemara. A group of people, a chabura was sitting, and one chabura eating one korban pesach, and a mechitza descended between them, making them into two groups. We had a machlokas tanoim just before Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, so here we make reference to that machlokas. L'divrei ha'oimer pesach nechal b'shtei chaburos. According to the Man d'Omar, the opinion that said one Pesach can be eaten in two groups, Oichlin, so they can continue eating. True, they started off as one Chabura, it's now split into two Chaburos. There's no problem with that. L'divrei Omer ein ha-Pesach nechal b'shtei Chaburos. According to the opinion that says a Pesach cannot be eaten, one Pesach cannot be split between two groups, well, ein Oichlin, they'll have to stop eating. They started off as one group. With the descending of the wall, the one Korban Pesach that they were eating all together is now being split between two groups, so they can't eat it. Hoyu Yoshvin, v'nistalka mechitza b'neihem. There was two groups of people with a mechitza, a wall separating them, a divider separating them. L'divrei ha'oimer, ha'oichel oichel b'shnei makomos. According to the opinion that says that one who is eating can eat in two separate places, so the people there, the eaters, they started off in a call each one each. They started off each group in a small room. So if you just focus on a particular eater. In a particular group, he was eating his Pesach in a small room. The mechitza disappeared, and all of a sudden, new airspace developed. He's seeing something that he did not see before. That's tantamount to a new place, to being in a new place. So, if you hold that an eater can eat in a new place, so he can continue eating his Korban Pesach. L'divrei ha'oimer ein ha'oichel oichel b'shnei mekoymos. According to the opinion that says an eater cannot eat in two places, ein ochlin, so they would have to stop eating. Prior to what happened, they were eating, each individual in his respective group were eating in a small room. With the disappearance of the wall, they're now exposed to a new airspace. And as we said, that's like a new location. And therefore, if you hold that one person cannot eat in two places, they would have to stop eating. Yosef Rav Kahana v'kol poshit lei mifshat. Rav Kahana sat and said over this teaching as a matter of fact. The Rashi explained poshit lei mifshat oimro lishmuzu pshuto mufreshes kamo shamarnu. He said it over simply and as a matter of fact, as we said shasias mechitza, the creation of a wall oisa oison shtei chaburos, that makes it as if they are two separate chaburos. The siluk mechitza, the removal, is oisa oison shnei mekoymos. The removal of the wall makes it like two separate places. And Rav Kahana said it as a matter of fact without any feeling of doubt about it. So in the Gemara we continue. Omar le Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi addresses Rav Kahana, v'tiboy lochibai. Why not present this as a question? In other words, how are you so sure of what you said? As follows, the question will be siluk mechitza v'asiyas mechitza, the removal of a divider or the making of a divider. Mi havi kishnei mekomos ukishnei chaburos domi oiloi. Is it like in the case of siluk mechitzos? Is it like it's now a new place, it's Shnei Mekomos, or with the Asiyas Mechitza, is that really like making Shtei Chaburos or not? Teku. And that would remain unresolved. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have on the side a topic heading the Nosei, Derech Eretz Be'inyan Seuda. Derech Eretz, an expression referring to proper behavior or etiquette, when it comes to matters relating to meals. Hakala hoifeches es poneha v'chulei. We mentioned in the Mishnah that the kala, the bride, she is, and she's eating her Korban Pesach, she can turn her back away from the other people. And we saw Rashi on the Mishnah, which meant that she, in effect, is forming a second a chabura. And one Pesach, according to our Mishnah, one Pesach can be eaten amongst two chaburos. That would be like Rabbi Yehuda. So my time, why does she change? Why does she turn away? Rabbi Chiya explains, like we explained earlier, because of the embarrassment she feels in knowing that she is the focus of people's eyes, people's interest and attention. So while she's eating, she doesn't want to be looked upon, so turning her back to them will solve that problem. Rav Huna, braid Rav Nosson, iklo lebei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Rav Huna is visiting the house of Rav Nachman. We will see a series of triangles that appear in this section of Gemara. On the side of our Gemara, under our Mivne heading, we have the triangles are featured. Five hanhogos shel Rav Huna braid Rav Nosson beinyan suuda v'ta'amom. We will first introduce five behaviors of Rav Huna, who was visiting Rav Nachman, and then the Gemara will explain them each one by one, following the order that we, in which we presented them. Omru Lei, the people in the house of Rav Nachman, asked their visitor, Mashimcha, what's your name? Omalu Rav Huna, I am known as Rav Huna. Omru Nesiv Morapurya, they said, please have a seat on the Pura. Pura is a bed, but what we have to emphasize here, it was a place that people of distinction would sit. Yosef, so he accepted what they said, and he sat on this, in this at this location of distinction. Yavule Kosa, they then gave him a cup of wine, and the Gemara explains or what happened now after they gave him a cup of wine. Kible b'chad, he immediately accepted it, and the kos we can assume is what we call a kos shel brocha. It's a cup in order to lead in the recitation of a particular brocha. You have a kos shel brocha in the context of kiddush. You have a kos shel brocha in the context of people who recite the birchas hamazon while holding a cup of wine. Well, he took it immediately. He did not hesitate until they would implore upon him, but rather acted immediately. Kibla b'chad zimna. He accepted it immediately. V'shasye betray zimni. But when it came to drinking the cup, he drank it not in one gulp, in one chug of it, but rather he drank it in two gulps. We should point out that we're not dealing here with some kind of very large a cup of wine, a small cup of wine. Nevertheless, even though maybe he could have drunk it in one swallow, he nevertheless did it in two. And the fifth point, v'lo ahadir ape, and he didn't turn away, but rather drank facing them. Now we analyze each one. Omrule, my taima koras loch Rav Huna. Why is it that you are called by that name? Amarluhu Baal Hashemani. That's the way people refer to me. I've been referred to that since I was young. The Marsha explains that Rav Huna had received we'll call rabbinic certification called smicha, and they did not know of that. They saw a man coming in, a visitor, and based on the Gemara elsewhere, the Marsha quotes that when you're in a place that you are not known, if you happen to be a Torah scholar, you are to let them know as such. So his reaction by his response to them by saying, my name is Rav Huna, isn't an act of haughtiness by any means, but rather he is conforming to the proper behavior. My taimo ki amru loch nesiv apurya yasus. Why is it that when we asked you to sit on the purya, you sat immediately, and you didn't refuse? After all, as we said before, this was a place that people of distinction would sit. So there might have been room to say that maybe he should have, maybe as an act of modesty, oppose or resist, and yet he sat down immediately at this spot of distinction. Omar Lu, so Rav Huna answered, Kol ma shiomar loch bala bayis aseh, whatever the host says to do, you are to do it. As far as the words that appear in parentheses, there's quite a discussion amongst the different commentaries whether it should be here or not, and even if it is, it's not necessarily taken literally, but it has another meaning. But for further information and elucidation on that, we recommend looking at the Marshal commentary. My time all kiavi loch koso kablis bechadzino. Why is it that you willingly accepted upon the first request the honor of taking the kois? And as we explained before, this is a reference to a kois shel brocha, where there is an element of honor involved in leading the benediction while holding the cup of wine. So why is it that you took it without any hesitation? Now, parenthetically, we know from the Gemara elsewhere that if a person is asked to be the shliach tzibur, to lead the prayers in shul, he should not accept immediately. He should be misarev, show hesitation. In fact, the Gemara illustrates or teaches that a person should be asked three times before he actually ascends to the to the lectern, the podium where he would be leading the davening, leading the prayers. So we see there's precedent for hesitation when it comes to fulfilling roles of honor and leadership. So, and yet here he took the cup of wine, accepted the honor immediately. Omar Lu, so Rav Huna answered, there's a rule. Misarvin lekoton ve'ein misarvin legodol. When a person of greatness asks you to do something, even if it's a matter of honor, nevertheless you are not to resist. You're not to hesitate, but accept immediately. The Tosfos raises a point, and the Marshal elaborates on it, but we'll just take a look at the Tosfos. Ein misarvin legodol. The Tosfos asks, Amai de Yosef Apuria, when it came to question number two, the sitting on the bed at the spot of honor, lo shayich lemeimar mishum de ein misarvin. Why, regarding that, was the explanation of ein misarvin legodol used, but rather there the explanation was kol ma shiomer loch bala bayis aseh. Tosfos explains the yeshivas puria dovar gasus usrorahu. Sitting on that bed was something that would have ordinarily, if someone went, let's say, on their own and assumed that position, it would have been an act of haughtiness, of gasus and sorah of authority. For lo hoya lo leishev, he wouldn't have sat there based on ein misarvin legodol. He lav mishum koma shiyomer balabayas aseh. Element of koma shiyomer balabayas aseh is different than the element of ein misarvin legodol. So that you see that koma shiyomer loch balabayas aseh is a stronger source of authority, a stronger source of instruction than the issue of ein misarvin legodol. To say that again, in other words, ein misarvin legodol would not have been enough of a reason for Rav Huna to sit on the purya. We continue in the Gemara. My time o ashtise betrezini. Why, when it came to the drinking of that cup, did you drink it in two sips or two gulps and not in one shot? Omar Lahu Desanya. Well, so Rav Huna answers, there's a Tanaic source that indicates how one should drink. One who chugs a cup in one shot, one gulp, he is considered a gargaron. Gargaron would be a type of uncouth behavior, a ravenous type consumption. Shnayim, in two sips or two gulps, derech eretz, that's proper etiquette. Shlosha, taking one cup that is not very large, we're not talking about some kind of a quart mug of beer, but a small cup, and one drinks that in three gulps, that's migasiruch, that's already someone who's behaving in a haughty fashion. And number five, my time alohajus apoch. Why, when it came to your drinking, did you sit facing everybody? You didn't turn away. So he answers, the Mishnah teaches with regard to this realm of human honor and modesty. It speaks about the kala turning away, and it's not the that's characteristic of a bride, but it's not characteristic of a man to turn away. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi iklo lebei Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Yosi ben Lakunya. So Rabbi Shmuel visited Rabbi Shimon. They gave him a cup, like we saw before, a cup to lead in the Berachas Hamazon, and he accepted it immediately, and he drank it in one shot. And we dashed under Vishasi Bechad Zimna, because this is the curious point, if you will. We learned up till now, when we came to drinking, you drink a cup in two shots. Amri lay, so they asked they asked Rabbi Shmuel, lo sofer lomor hashoisikos basachas hareze gagron, that one who drinks a cup in one shot, he is behaving in a ravenous, uncouth fashion. Omar lahu lo amri bekoisoch koton vienoch mosoik vekresi ruchava, that halacha of shoyse bevas achas is a gargaron, that was not said, first of all, in your small, regarding your small cups and your sweet wine, and the fact that I am very obese, I'm a large person, a fat, large, corpulent individual, and people like me drink cups in one shot. Now, as far as this physical description of Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, we highly recommend looking into the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, and for further elucidation, you can glance there at the Tosfos Dibur Masil V'Omer Rabbi Yochanan, a rather interesting, revealing description of some of our great Talmudic sages. Omar Rav Huna, tells us more, let's say, practices or etiquette when it comes to meals, and more specifically, meals that are served by a servant or a waiter. There is a machloikis Rashi and Tosfos as to whether this is referring to a chabura of Ochle Pesach, a group that are eating the Korban Pesach, or Tosfos presents this as a general rule as regards meals. Omar Rav Huna, Bnei Chabura Nichnosin B'Shloisha V'Yoytzin Afilu B'Echad. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Dibur Masil Bnei Chabura. There are two Rashis with the same Dibur Masil. The first one is what we mentioned, that he says Lav Pesach. This is not talking about the Korban Pesach. And Bnei Chabura Shamosh Hameshamesh B'Sudason Nichnosin B'Shlosha L'Hasev. We're dealing with a Shamosh that's serving a meal. Three people enter a meal. Three people enter as a group to eat a meal. The imbo yochid oshnayim v'sevu. If one or two of the group come to hesevu, literally is to recline in anticipation of eating a meal, ein al hashamosh l'shamosh olayu. The shamosh doesn't have to serve them. The Rashi goes on, the yoytzin be'echod mehem. Call me shesim achiloso kodem in bo lotzeis yetzei. Anyone who finishes his meal, he can leave. Even though it poses a difficulty for the shamash to continue to serve the individuals that remain behind. In other words, shamash, it's easier for him to serve people in one shot. Just like we saw, if you have a group of people of three people that are planning to eat together, and one or two of them sits down, and the third fellow doesn't sit down until a little later, the shamash isn't expected to start serving them at separate times. Rather, he'll serve all three once they're sitting down together. However, when it comes to the other side, the end of the meal, that consideration of shamash difficulty is not taken into consideration to restrict someone from leaving earlier than the others. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabo, Vahu da Ayel Beidne de Regil Lemeal, Vahu de Rogash, Vahu Daila. Let us look at Rashi to explain this line. Rashi, three lines from the bottom, Vahu da Ayli Beidno da Ayli Inchi, She'ein Ho Achroin Marich Yoiser, Mishas Sudas Achirim. The leniency that we had for the eaters is qualified that the last fellow eating there isn't eating there, staying there, tarrying at a time that's later than other people eat. Because we said the shamash will continue serving the individuals, I mean he can sit there till midnight eating when mealtime ends at 8 o'clock. Rashi continues, likewise, as far as their entrance time, they shouldn't come earlier than mealtime. And the idea of this staying later is opposed, staying beyond mealtime. We continue in the Rashi, Behu de Rogash Budaila. What does that mean? Sheldiu l'shamosh. They had informed the waiter, Shezeh Darkon, Lotzeis Echod Echod, that this leniency with regard to the eaters, that they can leave individually, that is fine and good, provided they told the Shamash ahead of time, the Fisha Torach Hu Lo L'Shamash Yechidim. They prepared him. At least from Rashi, it seems that there's mental preparation for the Shamash, preparing him for the difficulty he will encounter by continuing to serve individuals, but only if they informed him can that leniency set in. Omar Ravina, we continue in the Gemara, the Noislim Schar Domim. Now, Rashi doesn't comment on this, but this idea of Noislim Schar Domim, the people that are eating are to pay him for his services. Now, it would appear that this might be a source what we call a tip, but what additional explanation would appear as that the you have three people, you have a group of people that are sitting down and they bought a meal. Now they didn't pay the waiter for the meal; they paid the owner of the restaurant or the owner of the inn where they are eating. They paid him for the basic food. As far as the services is concerned, the shamash services, the eaters, are expected to pay him. The question is this more than the tip that we refer to or not? That would have to be looked into further. But it seems from the text of the Gemara, they have to see to it that the eaters are the ones that have to see to his wages. And the Gemara concludes, V'tzor ha'achron l'hosif domim. The last one has to add more than the others. However, v'les hilchus kavasei, the Gemara does not agree with Ravina's approach. As far as what aspect of Ravina does the Gemara not accept, it would, on the simple terms, it would be that they don't accept that the last guy has to pay more than the others. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.